At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Oh man, but actually I'm not here, sort of, in a sense.
Whoa, does that mean I don't have to have the entire conversation by myself?
That's right, Ben. You'll have to have this week's entirely scripted conversation by yourself. I'll just be sitting here. No, all I mean is that we are recording this episode a little bit further ahead of time than usual.
Yes, and we are indeed.
The day this podcast is coming out, we will actually be traveling back from a trip to Florida, where we are hitting up Disney World for a couple of days and then going on our first cruise ever.
I know. I mean, I'm so excited, but it's this, I always have a really unusual like relationship with vacations where I'm split smack dab right through the middle on whether or not I prefer vacations where I know like what to expect, how to anticipate. There's like revisiting the old haunts, like the favorite places to eat. You know, it's like there's the going and, like, so much of traveling is like going and trying like brand new experiences, right, and being exposed to like new facets of the world and like, you know, that whole side of the spectrum.
Yeah.
But then on the flip side of things, there's also like, you know, oh my gosh, you know, I can't wait to go back. Right. Like I know so much more how to anticipate trips I've already been on. And so this is like a mixture, I think, of both, because we're doing like some Disney stuff. It's a Disney cruise in and of itself.
Yes.
Which is going to be pretty cool, because I feel like that'll have like some layer of like familiarity.
Some familiar beats. Yeah.
But then otherwise, like as we've gotten closer, I feel like, you know, every time, like, you know, like Alice has been on cruises in her life before.
Okay.
And so
okay.
I feel like as we've had like what?
Big flex.
Weird flex.
Okay, okay. Alice.
I feel like
my new favorite thing to do is say weird flex when it's not weird at all. Like, we were on a call last night with one of our Google Hangouts, and Dola, who's one of our mods as well, was talking about how she was like valedictorian of her high school. And I was just like, weird flex. but of course it's not.
But
it's just a completely warranted flex.
Super flex.
Yeah, super flex. Yeah.
Totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so anyway, so going on this trip, I think it's weird for me because I don't know like what the like costume nights, if there are them.
And like, I know there's like a pirate night and Beth's brought it up. And I was like, do you want to bring anything? And I'm like, do I want to bring like a pirate costume on the cruise? I guess it seems like something else I got to plan for. But then like, I'm sure I'll get down there and be like, I really wish we brought some pirate stuff.
That's or, exactly. You know, yeah. Like, and I remember this, you know, as an adult going like, similarly, I had this exact same thing when Alice and I went to Disney for the first time as a couple, which was the first time that I had gone to Disney since we went as kids.
Yeah.
You know, where I was in third grade.
Yeah.
So like 9 years old, uh-huh, I believe at that time. So I definitely didn't have like a lot of knowledge going into it about, like, you know, do we get reservations? And if so, where? And like, which rides are most important for like the fast passes and stuff like that. So, you know, it's, you're like drinking from a fire hose, so to speak, where it's just like, you're just taking in all of this information and like kind of along for the ride. So as much fun as that trip was, I feel like each subsequent trip for me has been even more fun due to the added layer of anticipation. So, I don't know. I'm curious for you, are you having any amount of this, like, you know, first ever cruise?
I feel like it's like, I'm very much looking forward to it. I feel like it is going to be, there's like no way, or you know, maybe I shouldn't say it out loud, but I feel like it's just going to be a blast. Like, we're going to be there with, like, it's like our whole family will be there.
Yep.
Or at least, like, you know, me and Beth and our kids, and you and Alice and Addison. And then like, Beth's parents and our parents.
Yes, yes. Be there. So lots of hands on deck.
Lots of hands, literally hands on deck this time.
Because we're on a ship.
Because we're on a cruise. Nailed That's weird. I know we've been like watching a bunch of like the different like vlogs and stuff that for people have like been on the ship. And I feel like there is just going to be an endless number of things to do.
Yeah.
And like, even if you're just like on the boat, it feels like it's going to be like just great. There's like pools everywhere. There's like clubhouses for the kids, and it seems like you can just sort of like drop them off and go explore some yourself. I think it sounds like there's gonna be like food whenever you want it.
You think that'll be food?
I think there's gonna be tons of food, man.
Okay. Yeah.
I know that sounds like a dumb thing to say. Actually, one of the weird things I've been like sort of like looking forward to like comparing is how this lines up to our like Star Wars trip when we went to like the Halcyon.
Yeah.
Because I felt like
the now defunct Halcyon.
Unfortunately, but I felt like when we were on there, what they had like conceptualized was like, okay. We can't obviously send people to space, but what if we did like a cruise ship theme for Star Wars, but on the ground?
Yes.
You know, but like, it's as if you're in space. And also then like, you know, that we'll work some story beats into it or whatever. But like, for it makes me wonder, like, how much were they drawing from like the Disney cruise experience to like, were they trying to make the Halcyon feel like a Disney cruise, but like Star Warsified or something?
It's a good question. Like, it almost feels like without a doubt, they must have had like the cruise teams coming and consulting on like how to do a otherwise space cruise, because for all intents and purposes, like once you entered that building, like it was kind of like entering a ship,
right? You're on the boat,
right? Like you weren't like going and like waiting at the bus stop for the bus to come and pick you up and take you to Epcot or something. I was like, when you entered, it's like this became your life for like the next three days or whatever.
Yeah.
So you're going to be in it.
Yeah. But like, so in a weird way though, like if that's exactly what was happening, then it's sort of like, I've been on like a diet cruise or something.
I guess that's a good point. Yeah.
And so like, I'm curious, like if we get on there and it's gonna be like, oh, I feel like I'll be able to like appreciate the stuff that we did on the Halcyon a lot more after I've been like on the road. I'm like, oh, I see what they were going for.
Yeah.
Or if people were on, they were like, oh yeah, it's kind of like being on a cruise, or maybe it's not. Maybe it's not even close. I have no idea. So I'm looking forward to even just being able to compare that. We're also going to be in the parks for at least a day. If I think we're going to do like a resort day, park day, that should be fun. And the kids are a little bit older and they've been before, so maybe they can like be excited about some stuff.
Oh, because they can anticipate it because they've been there before.
Oh, exactly.
I see. Yeah. It seems like that can make a difference.
It does.
At least so I hear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Of course. One thing I'm also starting to experience here. So if you've listened to the pop for a while, or maybe not, you will maybe remember that Beth and I started collecting like Pluto pins whenever we go to the park.
Yes.
Because for so long, I always like, you're going to the shops and every single shop, they've just got all these pins everywhere. And it's just like, this seems so fun. Like I want, but I never had any direction for it. And then when we were there with the kids last year, like we just sort of had like a serendipitous like Pluto central trip where like it was the first character we met, like Nick and Nate for some reason just decided those were the stuffed animals they wanted, and you know we thought that was kind of fun, like, oh look, it keeps popping up. We went to go try and buy like an ornament at Disney Springs because they have like a giant ornament store. We're like, we should get a Pluto ornament because that's sort of the thing. Unbelievably, zero Pluto ornaments.
What?
I know.
That seems so unlikely.
It was so unlikely. We walked around the whole store and like,
what a gap in the market.
It It honestly felt that way because he's like one of the Sensational Six. Like he's one of Disney's like six main characters. So it's like, how could there not be just like a standalone Pluto ornament? And we left there feeling like, I cannot believe we just whiffed on that. That was so weird. But then we walked into a pin shop and it was like, oh, this is what we should do. And it was just like everything lined up. So that was really fun. And every time we've been back since, it's been like really fun to try and like hunt them down or like see other people who were doing it or doing like the pin trading. It's like you uncovered a secret of the parks.
No, I know exactly what you mean too, because there's been a couple of interesting things that I feel like happen amongst our office, because like we all, you know, like get together, we go to like lunch every Friday together, like as a team and stuff like that. So we spend a lot of time, you know, here in office or otherwise chatting with one another about all the various things. And I know that like across the group, I mean, there's only five of us total, but like across the group, there's always like these like overlapping Venn diagrams, so to speak. So like we're like in the heat of like football season. So Isabel, the new popcorn culture editor, I think very frequently is like, oh my gosh, you guys are talking about football again. Like it's like, is football still happening?
Still
is
happening?
There, is there more, like, how much
Didn't
is there?
We talk about it?
Yes. But you know, then it's like similarly, like I think, you know, like Kat and Ethan, who also, you know, are in office here, are like really big, like readers. So a lot of times like they have like overlapping circles, like with books that they've both read or whatever, but there can always be like that thing that happens, like where, and this happens with any group of circle, with any group of people, like in, and everybody's been on one side of it or the other. So like, you know, it just happens, but there's like that feeling of like, man, like I don't really know how to like contribute to this conversation in a way that like would be meaningful. And so in the meantime, I'll just sort of like sit back and kind of like wait until something that does make sense.
Wait until the conversation pivots.
Yeah. Wait, like comes full circle. But I think this is the exact like relationship that I've always had towards the pins at Disney.
Yeah.
Like you go in, you see them all. There's like walls of it. There's the pin traders. They're like all the people like everywhere kind of doing it. People are like wearing them on like their lanyards and stuff like that. And like, when I look at it, it's like I see how pretty they are. I like love so many of them, but it is like feeling like until you've like chosen your thing, it's like it feels like being left out of a conversation a little bit, because you're like, it's not that I don't think they're cool. It's just, why would I pick this Mickey scuba diving one over this like Jafar one? You know, it's like, if I justify this one, surely I could justify that one. And then if I could justify both of them, which one do I actually want more? And there's too many.
And after I get it, what am I going to do with it?
But
you're staring at it and it's like, you're looking around and it's like, I know there's something here.
Right.
There is fun to be had. People are doing it. They're having fun around me. Why is it so hard?
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
And this is, I mean, I think this can happen with anything, you know. It's like, you, even if you're like looking for something to like watch on like one of the streaming services.
Yes.
Streaming service to even pick to open that night.
Those are my least favorite, where it's like, no one's given me a recommendation in a while. Like you finish a show and you're like, what are we gonna watch? Just like nothing's, it's like you have like just endless options and yet nothing seems appealing.
Yes, indeed. I think what I was hearing the other day, I was listening to a podcast that was talking about how Netflix was aware that this was like a problem for people, so they were kind of like, okay, let's invent like a surprise me button. And so it would like take everything that you had ever watched, sort of like dump that into some type of like algorithm, and then you would just click like surprise me, and then it would automatically start playing like a movie or TV show from the beginning or something, and you would just be like, okay,
this is it.
This is my surprise me thing. And in theory, this feels like it should work so well. Like it seems like people, it permits them the ability to not have to make a choice and still have something that supposedly they will like based on data.
Yeah.
And Netflix ultimately got rid of the button altogether because no one was using it.
Wow.
Which I also find to be kind of hilarious.
That it's is like, funny.
No matter how much you think like having that decision made for you, it's like that also is apparently not the solution people are looking for either.
I can like immediately see, like to me, and this is just me guessing in the dark, what the problem would be is that like whatever it delivers to you, like Netflix is already like suggesting things to you.
True.
Like,
yeah.
You know, so it's like chances are whatever it picks for you is going to be similar to what they're suggesting for you. And for whatever reason, like if they're suggesting it to you and you're not picking it, then it's like if they just start playing it for you, it's going to be like, no, I've already sort like just by not choosing it yourself, you've already like you have made a decision not to watch that thing.
That's true.
And then it suddenly feels like you're just like forcing, like, oh, you don't know me kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, you and I were talking about this exact same thing, like with social media algorithms as well, where like, you know, the example I gave, and of course it's been a while since I've been on social media anyway, but like the thing that I would frequently run into is like back in the day, we would watch like a lot of like The Bachelor.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times, like I didn't follow lots of people on Instagram in the first place. But then like what I would typically do is like kind of like go and like peruse the Discover thing, which, you know, could then end up being like a semi curated selection of like topics or whatever for me to look at. And I mean, you were talking about this, like, but like once upon a time, I feel like what would happen is I would see, you know, like one little thing that would say so-and-so from season 27 split, you know, and you're like, oh, that's interesting. And you click it. So it would pop up. And it was sort of like, okay, I wanted like this was the whole morsel of information that I ever wanted.
Right.
The problem is that in clicking that, I just gave you Instagram information about my algorithm. And now my whole feed is inundated with nothing but Bachelor news. And it's like, I don't care that much. Like no matter how much we've talked about it, no matter, like, you and I have watched it together with like with Alice and Beth before in the past. Like, it's like, I don't care that much. I don't want my whole feed to be nothing but a gossip column for The Bachelor.
Yes. I totally understand what you mean. And it's like, the thing is that like, if you were like, if there was that one headline that was like interesting enough to you or like relevant enough to you that you clicked it, maybe that was like a 9 out of 10. The problem is that when they start feeding it to you, even if it's not what you want your feed to look like, because like, it's not like you're not going to know what they're talking about. It's just that everything they're feeding you is going to be like a 5 out of 10. It's like, I wouldn't have clicked on this, but like, I do know what you're talking about. So yeah, I guess I'll just follow along. And then it's like, it just gets reinforced and snowballed.
Yes.
And it's like, this is not like my whole personality, but it's not like I'm zero interested in it. Just not like the only thing I'm interested.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yep. Yep. Exactly.
Which circles me back to Pluto here.
Okay. Yeah. I'm so glad we made it back.
So, when we started doing the pins, I was like, this is so fun. We have like a way to direct our pins. And then I was like, I was almost acutely aware when we started, I was like, I wonder if this will start to like bleed. Like, will this, by bleed, I mean like, will it start to inform my like purchases about all things at Disney World? Will like when I go to like pick out a mug, will it be like, okay, now I'm looking for Pluto mugs? And when I'm going to pick out shirts, it's like, well, obviously we, you know, we're like Pluto people, so we get the Pluto that,
right?
You know,
right,
is
right,
it like
right.
will like
we're do, Pluto people,
we're Pluto, exactly, like we were Pluto pin people, will we become just Pluto people, you know what I mean?
Do you fear this outcome, or do you desire this outcome?
This is exactly what I don't entirely know.
Okay.
Because it has happened some, like I remember like, you know, we got the pins and I was almost like, for a long time when we went, the thing I'd always get is try and get like a new Mickey Mouse themed mug.
Yeah.
And then as soon as we started doing the Pluto stuff, it was like, well, there was like a really great Pluto sweatshirt somewhere. And I was like, well, gotta have this. And Beth got one as well. And I was like, well, now we have the sweatshirts.
Yeah. You could go as like a Pluto clad family.
Exactly. Now we can sort of like match. And like, that's for fun. And Beth just got like this so super cool, like fanny pack thing today. It's got like her name on it. It's like covered in Plutos. And it's like, okay, well, that's pretty cool. I love that.
Yeah.
You know, that matches. And then like, you know, and then I feel like the other direction it could come from is like as an extension of the pins itself. It's like, I've got a bunch of lanyards, but it's like, all I'm trying to get is Pluto pins. So maybe I should just have a Pluto lanyard, you know? And it's like at, there's the, you start with the pins and then maybe that informs some other decisions. Right. And then those are all still internal decisions, but eventually if you make enough internal decisions, it'll start affecting other people's decisions towards you.
Yes.
And turn into like the full on snowball gift.
Yes.
Situation where it's like, okay, we just started collecting Pluto pins. And now every time I get a gift from anyone, it's always like the Pluto thing. And it's like, nothing against Pluto or anything. Great character. Obviously love him. But it's like, you know, when you're picking out, like, you know, if that's the thing, when you're the one picking it out, you can still like carve it into like your style. Like it's not just like, it's not great just because it has the character on it.
Sure.
It has to have the character and still be cool.
And yeah, right, you know? Right. I understand.
It's
what
not
you're
just
saying.
Like a blanket love of all, like, I don't want to dilute the way in which I enjoy Pluto to the point where it's just everything.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's what I'm afraid of happening, because I so enjoy doing the pins, but I'm afraid it's going to become everything. And then it's going to be like so diluted that it's just like, yeah, now we just have like a ton of Pluto stuff and none of it feels as special or something.
Right. Right. I mean, I can follow exactly where you're coming from. And I know that this happened to you once upon a time with Angry Birds.
Yes. Yeah. Oh man. I want to throw back. You're right. Yeah. I think it was even a year one video.
It may have been. Yeah. Yeah. Cause I think you even used to have like a, like, was it not like a fully red shirt with like the face of like the red bird from Angry Birds on it?
I think I had, cause Angry Birds, gosh, I'm sure you know what Angry Birds is, but like it was,
it was such a popular app.
It does not command like it doesn't have such a commanding presence the way it used to.
Yes,
where like,
yes.
It was like we talked about mobile games last week. It was like the first big mobile game.
Yeah.
Like ever.
And I wouldn't even say it was like a flash in the pan. Like it wasn't like it was just here for a little bit and then it was gone. Like it was here long enough that it feel like it has its own like marker, you know, in circa 2000. I'm just guessing here, like 2011 to 2000, like 13, 14, like
that sounds like, about right. Yeah. Know, like I remember playing it on my iPod Touch.
Yeah. Nice.
Know, back in the day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there wasn't like a ton of like mobile gaming happening back then, because like microtransactions hadn't become like a common thing. Like, I think you could, you know, this would have been in the days where it's like, yeah, pay 99¢ for the app and that unlocked everything in the app for the rest of time.
Yes.
You know, and it was like, oh, okay. And even doing that, it was like, wow, you paid 99¢. Okay, weirdo. It was like, yeah. So I know. I just went for it. You know, I just, it would have felt like almost embarrassing at the time to have spent money on a mobile game.
But, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember like I did really like Angry Birds, and I like, you know, made it a goal to like try and 3-star all the levels, and it was a lot of fun. And like, I remember thinking like, it'd be so great if there was like merch for this or whatever. Like you could buy just like, it seemed like really obvious stuff. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Whether it was just a shirt or like a stuffed animal or something, like it'd be fun to have, cause it's like quirky and sort of like, oh yeah, it's this like little game that if you play the app, if you know about, and then it seemed like it went from being this like quirky, like best known, it almost felt like podcasts where like for a while it was like, if you listen to podcasts, it was like, you do what now? What's, I've heard of that. What is that?
Yeah,
what,
yeah,
like, what, tell explain, me what a podcast is.
Explain more.
Explain more.
Now you almost know someone who hosts a podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. And like at some point, it went over, and now it's just like a podcast everywhere. You know, everyone knows what it is. And that's, I feel like that's what happened to Angry Birds. Like for a while it was like, oh yeah, like you sort of, maybe you'd heard of it, but then all of a sudden it was like, now it's at full force.
Yes.
And so they didn't have like merch like forever, and then suddenly it was like every child in America had an Angry Bird shirt.
Well, and so I remember this, and this is like always one of those things where like I look back on it like almost slightly embarrassed. But for one, I feel like for a birthday sometime around either when you were in college, maybe I was still in college, you had an Angry Birds birthday cake.
It was our friend John's, I think, well, girlfriend at the time, but now wife, had just like made it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe I didn't request it. It was just like a surprise, because they knew I liked playing the game.
See, it was like,
it was like.
But then, so the other one, and this is like why roughly I know the time frame, is that I went to Australia for my study abroad my junior year of college for like a Maymester type thing. And while I was there and I was in Sydney, we went to this like big marketplace. And I remember like, you know, I'm like literally on the opposite side of the globe, and I'm finding like all these ridiculously cool souvenirs. Like I've got this huge painting in my house that like I literally bought from like a guy who had just finished painting it like on a bucket on the street. Mm-hmm. And he you know, used like a screwdriver to like break off all the individual tacks holding it onto like the canvas and rolled it up. And
right.
I bought it like 3 hours into my trip, and then like carried it to the outback, and like, you know, so it's literally like laid, you know, it's been like within like like feet of Uluru, you know, right, like the giant red rock in the middle of the desert. You know, it's like this thing went with me everywhere. And then I'm in Sydney and we go to this massive market. And I'm like walking through like all these kiosks and I'm trying to find like cool stuff that I can bring home to the family.
Right.
You know, and I find this booth. It's got like Angry Birds merch. And I'm like, dude, Jay will love this. Like, what says Australia? Like, you know, this mass produced stuffed animal. Mm-hmm. Got to have one of those. So, you know, then I transport a stuffed animal from across the globe, you know, and it has nothing at all to do with Australia.
To do with the trip, right.
Right, yeah. It's like, so at the time though, I was like, what a perfect gift for Jay. And then once I went, you know, now looking back on it, it's like, you probably could have done better. You probably could have done like a, you know, like a boomerang.
Like an Australian themed thing.
Yes, yeah, right, oh, yeah, precisely, yeah. Right. Yeah, some type of like cool handmade object of sorts. Yeah.
Right.
But now instead you got an Angry Birds. I think it was a stuffed animal, but I honestly, now I don't even remember.
Gosh, looking back, it's like, man, how loud was this around me?
I know,
I don't remember it being like that big a deal, but I don't know. Maybe I just thought, it's just one of those things is like, it felt like you were like, you were early on the scene for something.
Yeah.
And then it like all of a sudden everyone saw the tidal wave. But yeah, I remember, like people, I think like even at the concert venue I worked at, people were like walking around doing like Christmas gifts or, you know, stuff. And I remember someone just got me like a box of Angry Birds, like fruit stacks was like my little, like, you know, oh, here, I got you something.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, what?
The number of ways that this infiltrated your life. It like infiltrated.
I was like, okay. It's like,
so
it's,
the whole,
you know,
time,
I just like playing the game, but it's not like my whole personality. You know?
So like, did you ever take that like a little bit like personally at all? Like why is it the case that this aspect of my life is the one that like has bubbled so like so to the surface that everybody thinks that this is what defines me?
I guess I must have.
No, that's kind of interesting because, okay, I mean, because so the other thing that we kind of brought up here, and this is I think another interesting question, is like, you were probably or just simply were like an early adopter of this particular, you know, like video game, which is probably also like maybe like what made it so interesting, is that maybe people knew you played it before it became so mainstream. And then when it became mainstream, it was kind of like, oh my gosh, I know this guy that like has been into it like long before it was like the thing. And so
it was just an Angry Bird hipster is what it was. Yeah,
well, exactly. But it brings about that phrase. Like I liked it before it was popular, is like a sentiment that I think like there's almost, I think sometimes like a yearning for this exact thing, but the life cycle of this process, I think, like when you zoom out, can be so like underwhelming, maybe, if you will, like where I feel like a lot of people with like their favorite band, for example, like maybe they've like, I liked them before they were popular and then they got so big and went mainstream or whatever. And like all of a sudden it's like, because they have become so popular and like so saturated, or like they adjusted their sound to like fit like a more like broad audience or whatever. It's almost like important to you that other people know that you liked it before it reached this sort of like magnitude. But in the meantime, when you are the early adopter of a thing, you probably like your goal, your hope is to encourage people to check it out.
Yeah, I know.
Cause like you want to be like, oh my gosh, nobody's ever heard of this book before. Like, let me show it to you. And then you can read it and then you'll love it too. And then like, if they go and do that with three other people and those people do that with three other people and those people do that with three other people, then like eventually it's like everyone knows about it. And it's like, everybody is doing the exact same thing, but then somehow it like loses its sweetness once it's like broadly accepted.
Right.
You know, which is also kind of like, well, then what was the point of sharing it in the first place?
Right.
You know?
Yes.
I think, not that, I mean, I'm like a big small business person. We own like a few of them.
Yeah.
Like this is, it's like a big thing, but it's also, I think sometimes what you witness with a small business where it's like, yeah, like go small business. And then like the small business grows to the point where like, it's a not so small business anymore. And then like it starts to like buy other small businesses so that it can become like a medium-sized business. And then once it's a medium-sized business, it can buy lots of other medium-sized businesses. And then it becomes a large business.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, instead of even liking the original small business that succeeded in the way that you always wanted it to, now you've almost got to be like, I don't like that one anymore. I went and found a new bakery on the corner.
Exactly.
Now I like this bakery and it's small and I want them to succeed so that they can grow into a small business that can buy other small businesses that can buy, you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. Like, it's like you, it's, I mean, it's, it's, a, it's, it's the Batman thing, right? It's like you die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
I hate how much that quote like comes into my brain at times. And I'm like, no, it's like the worst sentiment ever. I want it to not be true.
I know. I know. So that is like part of, I guess, my Pluto concerns is that like, or we just get like, how deeply should I lean into it? Like, should I, you know, or should I be afraid that that's going to happen and ruin my super fun pin collecting thing? Or should I just be like, you know what? Yeah, I'm always sort of just on the lookout for a cool piece of Pluto merch.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you know, I mean this like to the core of my soul, but you just have to follow your heart.
Well, of course. I mean, I was like, because Beth sent me a picture earlier today where she's got like her new awesome Pluto fanny pack thing. And yes, it is like, it is so cool. I love it so much. And I was like, and she's got like, you know, like a whole outfit that goes along with it. And I was like, okay. And it like, it, you know, then I was looking up like, I wonder if there's any cool, like crossover, like Nike, Disney, like Pluto shoes or something that exists out there. And I was looking them up and like, there's not for the most part. There's some like custom ones or whatever. And I'm like, no. If I want it to be like official. And like, I was able to narrow it in and there was like, I was like, maybe it doesn't have to be Nike. Just any, it was there a crossover with any shoe brand? It was like, there were. And it was like, sure enough, like, I was like, nah, I don't like the style. I don't like the style. It's like, there's like, just sort of like, it just looks like someone slapped like a freeze frame from a cartoon on the side of it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, no, that doesn't have any like particular flair or anything to it. That's not going to like turn heads or anything, but it is the sort of thing that someone who vaguely knew that you were like a Pluto person would be like, oh yeah, I got you these shoes because they had Pluto on them. And you're like, no, you've ruined it. No.
Now I have a Pluto thing I don't like.
Exactly.
I wonder if that's the problem, is that it's like every single thing you go into, every time you find like a cool new, like, you know, Pluto pin or whatever that does resonate.
Exactly.
It's a positive point in the bucket. And like, so far, every single time you guys have done this, it's always been a positive experience because you're always, you have your own mental filter, which is like, this one's the right one, this one's not the right one, this one feels good, this one doesn't feel good, like blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And I wonder if like the opposite effect can happen, where it's like, well, if somebody has now introduced a negative Pluto point into your brain, then it's like, how far in the other direction can it go if that
right
stack starts to pile up and you're like, okay, I have lots of Pluto stuff that I like, but then I also have like a small handful of Pluto stuff that I really don't like.
Right.
And now it's like, yeah, like that's, I wonder if that's where the
right,
the slippery slope starts to like the small one can almost like feed off of the big one, because it's sort of like, it's like, oh no, now I have self-doubt injected into the equation.
Oh yeah. You don't want that. It's like, I don't want this to go away. And it's like, the great thing about the pins is that like, there's so many out there that it's like, if you find, as long as I don't already have it, I want it.
Right.
You
yes. Know? Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Just keep going. It's just like, it's fun to find new ones, and that part is great. But yeah, I think you know, going back to like Angry Birds, like, you know, someone gives you like a little plushie or something, like, oh, I'll just put it on my desk here, and that's like, oh, every time they walk by, like, oh, thanks, you know, it's so nice of you to have put that on the desk. It makes them feel good because you did it.
Yes.
But then it's like everyone else who comes into your office is like, oh, you like this? Cool. Got it.
Dude, yeah. I know. I am now aware as you're saying this. So when Allie and I were going through the pregnancy with Addie, you know, we would go to like the doctor's appointments or whatever.
Yeah.
And we became really good friends with our nurse because we had the same one every single time.
Yeah.
And one of the big exchanges that we had very early on was that we, you know, this was 2020. So we're talking about how we had gotten, you know, married at Disney earlier that year, and she had like a Winnie the Pooh pin attached to her name badge.
Okay.
And but like the speed at which we started to like create this aura of Winnie the Pooh-ness about this particular person, it was like, well, that's basically her whole personality. Like, she put a pin on her badge. She wouldn't have done that if she didn't intend to ink it on her heart.
Right. Exactly.
But you're absolutely correct. I think especially when you're dealing with environments that have limited available information for you to display your potential interest to other people who are building their perceptions around you,
yeah,
the small amount of basis that they have to go off of probably like is like a building block that slowly grows into a mountain.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So there you go. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this sort of snowball or dilution effect in your life, but I was looking for shoes earlier. Like, if there were cool ones, who knows? Maybe we would have gotten them.
Yeah.
But like, part of me is like, I just don't want it to be ruined because I like it so much. And yeah, that's where I'm at.
I've got to tell you on this exact note though. So on the note of shoes in particular was, so like obviously over the past several years, I would say I've gotten into sneakers like a little bit. Like I do like sneakers. It's probably one of my favorite gifts to give people because I feel like what I'm hoping I'm doing is being able to like, pull some essence of what I know about each individual person and then hopefully like find the pair that then like reflects their personality back at them.
Right.
Like that's like usually like what the goal in mind is. And a couple of years ago, I was looking to see if I could purchase you a pair of sneakers and I ended up getting you a different pair entirely. But in my quest, I was attempting to see whether or not there was like I usually wear like Nike Air Jordan 1s. Like that's like my favorite,
style
and shape of shoe. Mm-hmm. I think they're really cool. And so I was like poking around. I was trying to see if there was like ever like a Pokemon collab because throughout the course of like, you know, of history in sneaker collaborations, there's just so many different ones where inevitably they've slapped a logo or a character or a concept onto the canvas that is otherwise the sneaker.
Yeah.
And so what I found, and it was so simultaneously impressive and infuriating.
Yeah.
But I couldn't find any Pokemon collabs like that. I think just largely didn't exist. Or if they did, there was like one Pikachu one ever and they were like super expensive.
Of course.
It's Pikachu and you know, like hyper exclusive and stuff. But so I find this company that does like, they like custom paint, like what is otherwise originally just a completely white pair of Air Jordan 1s, which are not like scarce necessarily. Like
you could go on
a website and like buy them like from Nike and just have a completely like white pair. So that's what this company did. And then they would actually go through and like paint or somehow like, you know, transfer the color onto the sneaker.
Right.
And the examples that they were giving for the Pokemon, I was like, these are such perfect representations of each of the Pokemon that they represent.
Right.
I was like, these are beautiful. Like Nike themselves could not have done a better job of creating something that was like the Bulbasaur sneaker without being like overt.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, I am so impressed with everything they've come up with. And so I ended up going way too far into this process and send money to people who absolutely stole it from me.
Oh no!
Yeah, so I'm like sending deposits and like doing this whole thing. Like, you know, I'm exchanging back and forth. The whole thing is a scam.
Gosh, what? How'd you find out it was a scam? Well, obviously you never got the shoes.
Never got the shoes. I didn't pay the full price that would have been involved, but I think it was like, I think I sent money two times with like to get further in the process, and then the third time they asked for more money, I was like,
wait a minute,
oh no, I see what I've done. But the thing that killed me is I was like, y'all, like, I mean, so frustrated that you're running a scam and you totally got me.
Right. But like, if you were just doing the thing, you'd be successful.
Yes. It's like, I would have paid like good money for those. Like the thing you came up with, the image, the way that you illustrated Bulbasaur onto this pair of sneakers is so exactly correct. Like you came up with I'm so impressed with your talent and so mad that it's not real.
Right. Like, exactly. Like why are you clearly are talented. If you just put this much effort into doing a real thing,
yes,
instead of scamming people,
and maybe the reality of it is that like actually executing like the, you know, so of course like I think like the souls, like let's just say they were purple or something like that to you know represent like Bulbasaur's like little flower thing on his back,
yeah,
like maybe it's the type of thing like where when they go through and they're photoshopping the sneaker to show you like what your version of them might look like, it's
yeah,
like, it looks really good in Photoshop, there's no way to actually do it without creating like an actual purple or pink colored soul.
Yeah.
So it's like,
it's easy to paint bucket something.
It's easy to paint bucket it. Yeah. But like, what would it look like in real life? What does it look like in execution? It's like that end product might have been terrible, but anyway, I got pretty got.
Oh man, that's a bummer.
I know.
Sorry to hear that.
That's okay. But if anybody in the sneaker world is looking for free ideas, you know, let me know.
Nike. I don't know if you've heard of this company called Pokemon.
Yeah. But right. Just you guys talk with talk each other. We'll see what happens. Go from there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, transition. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify.
Y'all are likely aware of the fact that we have our very own Shopify store, Carlin Brothers Mercantile. And it's hard to imagine not having it now, but arriving at the decision to open our own web store was a big one. In fact, we started our journey on the interweb back in 2012 and didn't finally open up shop until 2018. And a huge part of that is just not knowing where to start, but that's where Shopify steps in. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, which is a fancy way of saying it's a really easy and effective way to start an online business, no matter if you're operating out of your garage or have like a whole building or three or something. Once we were set up, our biggest concern was trying a new product, only to discover no one was interested in it. But Shopify is powered with so many reports, more than you can even imagine. And this is so handy because it allows us to use data to better provide what folks are actually interested in. It's so easy to use, but even if you do find yourself caught in a jam, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/poppop.
Popcorn Culture is supported by Arena Club.
Okay, so you guys know that I love trading card games and that me and Ben are big time collectors of Pokemon cards. You know, it's that childhood fantasy of finally being able to use adult money to buy those highly coveted rares of our youth. And like, even in our office, we have not one, but two full display cases with some of our all time favorite rarest cards that we've pulled. But something I did not know existed when I was a kid in my youth was the grading process for trading cards or sports cards or whatever you're collecting. You know, to me, it was just like a rare Charizard is a rare Charizard. Like, it doesn't matter if it's been hanging out in my pocket with my lucky paperclip. Turns out it does matter, and kind of a lot, because if you get your cards professionally graded, it can add huge value. And then not only that, but once they're graded, they will like seal them in that pristine condition inside of a plastic case, or what's known in the industry as a slab. And that's where Arena Club steps in, because it's like buying a booster pack, but it's for a pre-graded card. Now, I know that can take like maybe a second to wrap your head around, because you're opening physical cards on a digital platform, which means you open the pack online and see your pulls where they can be added to your showroom for the world to see. But you can also request them to be sent to you at any time. So they have got a ton of pre-graded cards, and then you will get to randomly open one, and then they'll keep it for you, or they can send it to you, or you can just like sell it or trade it online or whatever you want to do. But whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have got to check out. And right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/poppop, which, wow, that is a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's like $40 right there. Anyway, that's arenaclub.com/poppop for 10% off your first purchase.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Ben,
hey,
I've come across some of my least favorite breakdowns in etiquette ever. And I'm like, I can't. First of all, when it like it's happened to me twice, and on both occasions, I have just been like absolutely appalled that it's like happening. I'm like, how is this? How can the person doing this at all think that it is okay that they're doing it? Like, what is going on? Like, it is like it is so rude that anyway, let me back up.
So you think, okay, so without having any more context,
I haven't told you what it is yet.
but inside of whatever situation is happening to you, you feel that it is very apparent what the like the social contract involved is and should be.
Yes.
And people are completely just like ignoring it.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. That is exactly, that's a great way to.
To your detriment.
To, exactly.
Okay. Okay.
To my detriment.
Yes. Okay.
So here's what it is. It is when I'm going to the recycling center after I have like, you know, we get the boxes come to the house, you break them all down in the garage, I load them up into the back of the Traverse. I'm trying to do the right thing and not just put them in the garbage can and take them to the recycling center.
Way to go. Good on you.
I know. Right. And so the place I go, there's three just like massive dumpsters in a row, and each dumpster is like got four big like plastic doors on each side. So each dumpster has eight doors.
Okay.
Okay. And there's three of them. So there's like 24 available like big plastic doors on the side you could open and deposit your stuff.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
I'm following. Yeah. That sounds great.
Many spots, huge dumpsters.
It seems like a plethora of dumpster openings.
Yes, it is. It's a lot. It's, that said, there, despite the size, there are absolutely days where you open up like 23 out of 24 doors and that dumpster is like just 99.9% full, and there is just nothing. There's like, well, this is some tricky business. Where am I gonna put my cardboard?
Well, good on Roanoke for being such good recyclers.
Yes, it's like, oh, it's encouraging. Lots of people are clearly doing it.
Yeah, at least to the point where
they are very full. And I've been there in a myriad of situations. Like some days you'll get there and it's just like, yep, doesn't matter. Open any door at all and just toss it all in.
Okay.
You just, maybe you got there just after they dumped it. That's always the best.
It's going to be good. It's like Stanley from The Office, like on pretzel day.
It's like pretzel day. Yeah.
Like, I like pretzel day.
Yeah. It's like, you know what? I can pick whatever door I want. I load it all in. It takes me like 2 seconds.
Right.
No big deal. Other days I've been there and it's like, yeah, you got to open like 15 of the doors. And eventually it's like really full, but eventually you find one. It's like this door, there's like, it's maybe like 50%. So it's like, you can easily still fit. No problem at all.
Would you liken it to panning for gold? You know, it's almost as if you're going and you're laboriously checking each of these doors.
Yeah.
And it's like, no good, no good, no good. And then before you know it, you just strike.
It is.
The
it
mother is, load.
Because like you get there and it's disheartening really quickly because like, there's no way around the fact that every time you open a door, you're touching a dumpster. And it's like, even though it's not like a trash dumpster, it's all just cardboard. It's like, it feels dirty. And it's like, I want to find an open spot quickly that is ideally close to the car. So okay. I don't have to like, you know, interact with the physical object as much as possible. But so anyway, the past two times I have been there, it has been like, all three dumpsters, I would say, have been at 99.9% capacity.
Ugh.
And I will literally go, I've gone through like literally like 22 of the doors before finding one that is like, oh, this door is only about 98%.
Okay.
Like, this is going to have to do. This is my best option.
Can make this work.
So can make this work.
So you found some gold dust.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just like, you know what? This is as good as I'm going to get today. One of those days.
Time to start digging.
You know, it's like, it's in sort of the back corner. It's like door number 23, you know, like we had to go quite a ways before we found the one, and I'm going to have to take several trips to the car now because I can't carry it all over here, but that's okay. That's okay. I found one. I'm going to make it work. I might have to shove some stuff down. I might have to interact with stuff inside the dumpster. My least favorite.
Oh yeah, of course.
But nonetheless, there it is. I got it. So I'm in there and I'm making it work. I'm, you know, maybe made two trips in there. And since I've been shoving my stuff in there, someone else will have like driven up and they're ready to unload their cardboard as well.
Oh dear.
And I'm like, you know what? It's going to be interesting to see how their journey goes. Where are they going to land?
Certainly not in my
yeah. I think you can see where this is going. Yeah,
not my hole.
Yeah. Guess exactly what happens is like, I finish shoving my stuff in there. I walk back to my car to go grab my next load and I turn around and whoever has pulled up has been like, they've just decided that I've done the work for them. Clearly this person settled on that one because the rest were full, so I'll just go there too. And it's like, I can look in their car, they've got a ton of cardboard. Mm-hmm. And it's like, mm-hmm. they can look at my car, they can still see I've got more. And it's like, dude, you cannot just steal my spot like that. Like, like, you cannot do that. You cannot cut in line. You have to wait for me to finish unloading before you can start putting stuff in that hole. That's my hole, man. It is so like it has happened the past two times I've been there. Someone has like interrupted my cardboard stream and started using the hole I found. And I was like, I'm like, what is happening?
This is like gold mining.
I know. I'm like, are you kidding me right
dig
now? Bro?
Anywhere else.
Like, yeah, like, dude, that I found that spot. Okay. I worked for that. I touched 22 other doors. Like, you can't come in here and just you're gonna make me go search for like the other minuscule available space here. I don't think so. Mm. And I'm like, should I yell at them? Should I assault them?
No.
Like, no, probably not. But God, am I angry right now?
Oh my gosh. Like, yeah.
It feels like they've earned it.
Jay went red.
I know, just like, dude, not like, because I'm like almost done. You know, like, oh, it's making me so mad.
Yikes.
Yeah. Anyway,
mega that's yikes. What,
this is like, and it's just it's such a breakdown. It feels so obvious that you can't take. You, like, if you want to go after I leave, if you want to go see if, yeah, that guy found a reasonable opening.
Right.
It's like
a seam.
A seam. And it's like, but like, you got to wait for me, dude. Like, you cannot cut in line. It is so annoying.
I am like trying my darndest to mentally imagine myself pulling into the parking lot, seeing one other SUV parked sort of near one spot and being like, oh, that's probably where I should go.
Exactly. Like, you know. Like, they didn't even like check the other doors. Like, they maybe opened one and were like, I see what happened. All right, just good. That's clearly where to go.
Right. Yeah. Like, this is the only available space left. Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. This is so interesting.
So annoying.
Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much time do you feel that you've spent inside of dumpsters? I mean,
just like almost none.
None?
I don't have to go inside the dumpster.
Oh, goodness gracious, yeah. Man.
I mean, there's, I guess, like when we here at the office, if we have trash, like there's like a public, I guess you need like a key fob to get in.
Right. Yeah.
Or you have to like,
there's like a compressor type.
Yeah.
Thing.
There's like a compressor thing. And sometimes I'll have to go in there and throw in the trash.
Yeah.
And that just smells like melted batteries.
It really does.
It is such a bad smell.
It is like a horrifying scent.
But yeah. To have been inside of a dumpster, I would say just almost zero.
None.
Yeah.
No. Man.
Have you been, you spent some time in dumpsters?
I have spent a lot of time in dumpsters. Oh yeah.
To what end?
Just I think that like the many careers / aquarium life of one Ben Carlin, the frequency at which I needed to be inside of a dumpster to accomplish one mission or another is numerous.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Well, for one, when I worked at Petland, trash duty fell squarely on the shoulders of the aquarium group.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So oftentimes what would happen is they would go through and they would change all of the bedding out on like all of the various like, you know, rabbits and gerbils and, you know, like whatever else used, like birds and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, so they would go through and they have these gigantic trash bags that they would like leave in the back that are just stuffed to breaking point. I mean, they weighed like, I don't know. I mean, it was like moving a body.
Why is this on you then? if they're the ones generating the garbage,
you know, it never occurred to me to ask the question why it was my responsibility, but it was.
Yeah,
and so I did it. But the number of times, like, I mean, it is to look back on it and have no idea, like, you know, what I mean. It's like I would like to go back to 16-year-old Ben and just give him a hug.
Yeah,
because there were certainly instances, you know, where you're back there and the single dumpster that the Petland had available to deposit all this stuff into. Similarly, I would have to go through and break down every single cardboard box that would come into the building.
Yeah.
So frequently I would have a flat stack of boxes taller than me,
man,
that I needed to like, you know, dispose of. But then I would go, and on top of that, I'm like, I have these gigantic, like 55-gallon trash bags full of bedding and rat and mouse droppings and stuff like that I'm trying to like
fecal matter heave
over the rusty edge of this dumpster and like,
God,
you know, it's like tears a hole.
Oh,
and,
no.
You know, just horrible stuff raining down on top of you. But so a lot of times in order to get the dumpster to close, you had to then like get everything up on top and then go jump on top of, like, you climb up the dumpster
and
then be jumping on it to try to like squeeze it down and into the crevasses so that, you know, you could get the dumpster shut. And so I spent a lot of time doing this, and then then, you know, as I got a little bit older, I remember I would just be on job sites and, you know, being like the low man on the site. It was also your job at the end of the day to go and like dispose of all the stuff.
Yeah.
So the memory in particular that I recall was I was installing a giant jellyfish aquarium, or helping to install a giant jellyfish aquarium, in Lexington, Kentucky, at a restaurant that is now out of business, but it was called Coba Casina. And it was just the most unusual place you ever saw, but gigantic jellyfish tank right in the middle of the space. And at the end of the day, they had this huge like tractor trailer sized dumpster, but I don't know if like people were using like scissor lifts to go up and down to like throw stuff away into it, but it didn't have like side panels or anything. So at the end of the day, I've got like all this aquarium gook inside of our shop vac that, like, you know, basically the guy I'm working for is like, you need to go and empty that into the trash can. But the trash can is like 8 feet tall. There's no way I can lift this super heavy thing over my head to dump it in there. So I'm like, you know, kind of like rigging up, like using like spare bits of cord and like wrapping it around my, like my back, kind of like Link climbing like a mountain or something like that with a shield back there, except instead of a shield, it's actually a shop vac.
It's a shop vac full of gunk.
You get up to the top and you sort of, you try to go and like flop yourself in. It's just like, well, here goes nothing. You go and like just dive in there. And it was like, you know, it was like 20 degrees and snowing, and I'm just...
Oh, that's the other thing. Yeah. There's always, whenever you're in a situation like this, there's some extra element that's making it like uncomfortable as well. Like, anything, like, I don't know, whenever I'm like, in addition to doing my little dump, being cut in line at the recycling center, it's also just like, there'll always be like... Like the sun will just be like at just that level where no matter what, it's in your eyes.
Or
it's like, or it's just like, it's like 33 degrees outside. And it's like, boy, it's just like, it's, it, you know, I'm wearing a jacket, but it's like, the sooner I could get out of this, that'd be great.
It's like, why did I wear a jacket that was so porous? So when this cold breeze comes through, it just like, it literally cuts through the sweater holes.
You're like, you know, I was warm when I was breaking down the cardboard in the house, and that was fine. But now that there's even just a light breeze, it's like, ugh, this is kind of frustrating. There's always something like that happening as well. Or like, I was thinking about this the other, like I remember at the concert venue, it had it had its own trash compactor thing.
Oh, but you never got in it?
Oh, no, certainly not. I didn't have to do that. That that was for like the ops guys to do.
Okay.
But I remember certainly we got tons of shipments and stuff, and they would be, you know, there'd be just mountains of cardboard, and it'd be like, yeah, just got to break it down. And like in my brain, there's something like nice about like a somewhat monotonous task like that. It was just sort of like, yep. It's like, what'd you do today? It's like, I don't know, just broke down boxes. It's like, But that was my job, and I had to do it, and so I did it.
Yes.
You know, it's like it's not that bad if, like, you know, like you're, it's just your job. Like, you know, I just had to do it or whatever. But I can always imagine, I always, like, whenever I would be out there, like, where that spot was, it was always like, yeah, it's just, like, 1 degree colder than I would like it to be. Or, like, I would think, I was trying to, like, think about that exact thing as it came to, like, I saw like an Instagram post earlier about like folding laundry, and it was like, oh, the washer and dryer have done their job. Now it's your turn. It's like folding all the laundry. Or it's like, you know what? It doesn't, like, if all I had to do today was just fold the laundry, that doesn't sound that bad. Like, if I had no other responsibilities, it's like it might be boring or something, but it's like, would it be that bad? It's like, it wouldn't be that bad if all you had to do was fold the laundry. The problem, what's going to get in your way, is where the laundry came from. And that's the kids.
Yeah.
They're not going to let you fold the laundry just like by yourself peacefully.
Yes. Yeah. It's like, it's boring for you, which means it's like 12 times boring for them.
Yeah.
It's
like, I'm not even asking them to help. Just go in the other room. It's like, not going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But that would be the X factor there. It's like, oh, is it cold outside? Are the kids pulling at you? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's such a challenge to get anything done, isn't it?
It is. It's a challenge. Especially when people are cutting you off at your dumpster hole.
Dumpster hole is totally gonna be the title of this week's episode.
Good times. I'm giving Isabel lots of
lots
of ammo.
Lots to work with. All right. Maybe one last transition before we close out, so we can end on a high note and not dumpster hole.
Fair enough.
Transition. Okay, Jay. So I have a piece of follow up because I a couple of weeks ago I talked about the Zeigarnik effect.
The Zeigarnik effect, yes.
Yeah, which this is sort of like the underlying I don't even know, like psychological phenomenon, if you will, where
bingo.
Yeah, exactly. Where you are finally able to like let something go, and in doing so, like free up your mental space. And it can happen a variety of different ways. The kind of classic example that I gave was like a waiter is able to remember everybody's order as long as he's waiting on that table. But then the moment that table leaves, he doesn't really have any need for any of that information. So then the information just goes away. Yeah. And the personal example I gave was sort of like, you know, going through like a breakup or something. It was like being able to like positively, absolutely provide both myself and that person closure meant that like, you know, it's like there wasn't, it was a clean, successful breakup with no weird like tendrils that sort of like left it
right, yeah,
ajar, so mm-hmm. to speak. But the other thing that I've been thinking about before is that like I think probably on some level everybody has certain aspirations in life, you know, like yeah. there are things that you desperately want to like either, you know, do for the first time or successfully master, or like, you know, like milestones of like achievement, whether that is like in the form of like being able to purchase, you know, your first home or like, you know, a car or like some particular aspect of life or whatever. And so these things kind of become like the chase goals, like the underlying like driving motivational forces for how and when you are like cruising through life. But then on the other end of the spectrum, I think that you've also got like certain things that maybe you've always aspired to. And this was the example that we talked about a little bit with you and sort of like your passion for Pokemon cards,
yes.
and competition and like, you know, whether or not like you've been able to scratch that itch effectively enough.
Right.
You know, like to sort of like let that aspiration not necessarily go, but like even say like you've reached a stage where it's like I, as a kid, I always wanted to do a little bit more, and then I was able to do a little bit more, and then I was able to do a little bit more.
Right.
And, you know, like now I've been able to like really achieve everything to the best of my ability. And we discussed a little bit like your time constraints possibly
right.
could be like the new one where maybe like 20 years from now, if you guys are like an empty nester, it's like, dude, I got time.
Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so one of the things that I have been struggling with, and we've talked about it on the pop in the past before, but there are like certain weird aspirations that since discovering this particular effect, I've been curious as to whether or not like I can't help but making an excuse for myself, which is the real, that's my like, let me lead.
This is
with
your
that.
Long-winded thing. Yeah.
This is my long-winded thing. So it's like, I feel like I learned about the Zygarnik effect, and in doing so, I was like, oh man. Okay. So like, there's a conversation that I would love to go and have with that person. There's a conversation that I need to have with this person. This is a relationship that I need to work on or try to build on or something like that. So since learning about it, I've actually been doing like a lot of like outreach to attempt to like do like find resolution in these different weird facets
right.
that I otherwise felt like I didn't have.
It's been like a weirdly like life-changing like discovery for you.
It has been
the Zygarnik effect.
No, it's been a big one, which is also wild, I think, in and of itself, because it's not uncommon for me to discover some new like term like this, or you know, it's like the like sometimes it feels like the zodiacs or the horoscopes, like you can go and read something and you're like, wow, this applies to me exactly. Like
right.
this tells me everything I need to know. And I have found lots of things in life where like I'll be reading about like a psychological condition or this, that, or the other, and been able to like pick and choose or cherry pick like, oh my gosh, like that is exactly how I feel. Or, mm-hmm. you know, you can take the like a personality quiz, Enneagram, like any of these things, and you feel so seen by it. But then there's always the big question of like, what do I do with this information now?
Right. Yeah.
And
sometimes sometimes it can feel very helpful to like give a particular symptom or feeling or something a name.
Yes.
And it like helps you understand it. But it like, whilst there is some relief with that understanding, it doesn't actually like remove the source of the problem or the symptom itself.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so once upon a time, I think I can't remember if I talked about this on the pop or just like with you independently, but the term rumination at some point in time was almost like the symptom. Like I discovered the term, and the term of rumination is basically like that replaying of combination or conversations inside of your brain, or like reliving past experiences, or like thinking about that one really terrible thing you said on that one occasion and not like, you know, not being able to like let it go. Like rumination is, in my opinion, a symptom of what is otherwise the Zeigarnik effect. Mm-hmm. But the Zeigarnik effect to me is like the roadmap, you know, like
right.
This tells you a little bit more about like why you're ruminating.
Right.
And it's because like doors left open through life want, like your brain wants to close them.
Right.
And it's this exact thing that even like, I think oftentimes makes video games like so much fun, or like I've played like some Sims lately, you know, or like cozy gaming type stuff where it's just like, it's like, oh, my guy is hungry, so like let me go and have him make a mac and cheese. Oh boy, that bar just filled up. I feel better about that.
Exactly.
You know, yeah, and it's like you get to close the door on his hunger at least for a little while until it builds back up, and then you get that thrill of getting to allow him to make more food or exactly. order a pizza or something.
Or not.
Yes. We all become a little bit evil when playing The Sims at some point or another, I think.
Yeah.
But so one of the things that I think bubbled to the surface more quickly than I would care to honestly admit, when I was first delving into this concept and applying it sort of like to a lot of the circumstances that live inside of my brain. And it's something I've talked about in the pop before, but it's subwoofers.
And okay.
It feels like so much of everything I'm saying is genuinely and honestly deeply important to me. And I know that it is significant, and I know that it is like an aspect of like how I manage my relationships with different people in my life.
Yeah.
And then there's subwoofers.
Right.
But subwoofers are my Pokemon cards in a way where when I was in high school, it was something where I remember the very first day that I went over to my friend Chris's house, and he had this green Jeep.
Yeah.
And in the back of the Jeep, he had figured out how to wire up a pair of subwoofers that I think maybe he got from like his brother or something like that. And I get in and I'm like, this is the greatest thing I have ever experienced. Like, I loved it so much. And I don't know why. Like, I'm fully aware of like the like person who pulls up next to you in the street and is just absolutely like about to vibrate their license plate clean off because they're rocking so hard in there.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I agree with you. That can come across as obnoxious 100%. Yeah. And for some reason, I still enjoy it.
Right.
Like, it's like, I can't not. I just have to recognize
that. You're like, you who was so worried about bothering anyone in any way at any time ever, like, somehow has this like glaring, like, blind spot when it comes to being an extremely loud car sitting in traffic.
Yes. And it's like this is the one occasion where, because I enjoy it so much, it just outweighs literally everything else to do with the associated perceptions or otherwise impact on anyone.
Yeah.
And so it's like nothing I can do about it. But so the end result was, well, as a kid, is that like I immediately went and started selling everything I owned so that I could go to Best Buy and buy the cheapest subwoofer that I could buy.
Okay.
Which I think at the time was like, you know, like let's say the box, the subwoofer itself, and the amplifier was like maybe $150 or something. And then after a period of time, like worked my way up to having like a like nice sealed box with 2 12-inch Rockford Fosgate, like woofers in the back of my Trooper.
Yeah.
And they were loud.
Yeah.
But it's exactly the same thing where I think as a kid, I would still go to the store and I would still like drool over the, like the JL 10W7s. Have you seen the magnet on those things? Like, truly glorious.
Can't say that I have.
I know. But anyway, I liked them. So, as life progressed and everything, this was sort of one of those things where I think the sensible side of my brain was able to very successfully rule out the need for this particular like inclusion in my vehicle.
Right.
And I never wanted it to take up additional space or anything like that. But what has happened to me is that now we are probably, so I'll be 35 this year. So all of this is taking place literally like half a lifetime ago, effectively.
Right.
And It's like I've never been able, like, with adult money to go and allow myself to just do it.
Right.
And so, like, the mental experiment that keeps scrolling through my own brain is, I'm like, especially with, like, this discovery of the Zygarnik effect, is I'm like, do I go and do it and see if it just, like, clicks it out of gear? And I'm like, okay, I made 16-year-old me happy. I went, I did the thing, I bought them, I installed them, I listened to them, boom, done. Now I can sell them because I don't care anymore. Like, that, like, I'm half expecting, if I ran this experiment, that that is exactly what would happen. Like, I would enjoy the heck out of it for like 3 months and be like, all right, I did it. Like,
right, yeah.
You know, but is that worth all the effort?
It might be if you're still thinking about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so the question
also, that, like, how much could this possibly set you back? Like, well, you know what? It occurs to me, I'm sure you could name your price and spend it on subwoofers if you really wanted to.
It's like anything else. Yeah. There's any hobby. It's like, I think this is like one of the key discoveries as you get older. Anything you're interested in can be as expensive as you want it to be.
Right.
The specific circumstances that I have for mine is that the same company that makes the JL10W7. That's JL Audio. They make these stealth boxes, okay. And they're like specifically designed for vehicles to go somewhere where there is already a cavity of space so that you are not using any available space in your car in order to house the unit.
Okay.
So it's like, I am unwilling to sacrifice seating space for anybody I would ever need it for,
right.
Or storage space for anything that I would require.
Yeah.
So it would have to go somewhere that would essentially be otherwise invisible to the naked eye.
Okay.
So it basically goes behind, like, in my truck, if you go in the back seat, there's like a full back seat and everything. It's got like its own doors. So it's like a crew cab is the technical term. But so behind those seats, there's like a wedge shaped space where it could go. And I don't know that it is like, it's a lot. It's north of like $1,000 for this particular slice of space, which I could sell other stuff, which is usually the way I justify anything.
Right, yeah. It's like even as you're saying that, I'm like, you could sell other stuff.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's not a otherwise wildly unattainable thing for something that has bothered me for so long, but it's also so, like, I know I can mentally, like, reason myself out of it with no trouble whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's just, it won't leave me alone.
Right.
It's like, and that is the thing in my mind where I'm like, how many people, because, and like, I understand, like, anybody listening right now, you know, might just be like, Ben, this is the most ridiculous thing ever. Why do you like subwoofers? Or they might be thinking, Ben, this is the most ridiculous thing ever. Just go do it.
Right.
Like, we are tired of hearing you talk about it.
Yeah. Well, so here's a great question then. Like, how are you feeling about your tattoo now?
Ooh, that's a good question. That's a good question. The rule I made for myself was that I had to wait a year after getting it, just because I, like, it was purely because when I left, I was like, I want more.
Right. Like, okay. Yeah.
And it was one of those things where I was like, I need to pace myself because more than anything, this is the actual explanation for the tattoo, would be that I think, at various stages of my life, I would have gotten different tattoos for different reasons based on like where my headspace had been at individual spaces.
Yeah.
And I want to preserve real estate on my person for like different stages of life.
Okay.
And I think even probably on some level, this is a bit of mental gymnastics to where it's like no matter what, I can always be happy with the one I have now, because it's also like, I can always be like, no matter how you feel about it years from now, it was always exactly what you wanted the day you got it.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
And that to me, I think stands for something.
Okay.
You know, it's like, they're like markers in your life. They're like, it's a journal entry, so to speak. Like,
yeah.
What was important to you at the time you got each of them, so that there is like an isolated, you know, whatever. But all that being said, I've also talked to Ethan, the editor, about this as well. I was like, I feel bad for the amount of pressure I was both putting on myself and possibly subsequently other people who listen to this show about the tattoo.
Okay.
Feeling like I was like putting too much of a requirement on it being any level of like significant or meaningful or anything in any way, shape or form. It was like, once I got it, it was like, okay, now I feel like I could go and like, be like, I think this looks cool, so I'm doing it for that reason.
Right.
You know, that could also be
right.
A completely justifiable way to approach it.
Well, I guess the point of my question though, was that like, it was something that had clearly like, it felt like there was like a Zygarnik effect in your brain to do with the tattoo. And it's like, you like waffled on it and thought about it, and it like pulled at your brain for like like half your life and you finally got it. And like, so like not having gotten it, do you feel closure on it?
Oh, that's a good question. Yes, I think so. I think that like some of like the deep like yearning or like mystery or like whatever about it, I think was like some of the mystery about the experience and like what it would be like and all of that type of stuff. Like, I think I was able to like find closure with that. And then probably the otherwise end result was a piece of self-discovery that was like, I just like this.
Yeah.
You know, like I liked the process. I liked going and doing it. I liked chatting with the artist while it was like unfolding. Like I even, you know, ultimately liked it being like something that I did, like sort of wholly on my own.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was something that was kind of neat, 'cause that's not how I approach almost every other aspect of my life. So anyway, the big question that I had in my mind was sort of like, how much are other like people in life, when there is something that they so desire, to do or covet or something in some capacity, like, you know, how much are you able to justify in your head being like, yeah, you know what? I want it. Like, I don't know whether or not like I'm like resisting like an obvious impulse in my brain.
I know exactly what you mean. There's this like feeling that I experience a lot of times where it's like, because I want it, I probably shouldn't have it.
The
act of me wanting it probably means that I should not want it.
Like, it'd be like indulgent to do
it. Like, it would be indulgent or selfish or something. And it's like, for some reason, I think I talked about getting like a hot tub or something. Like, part of me is just like, or a while ago I talked about that, and it was like, part of me is like I know that it's like an expensive thing, and I know that like I want it, which makes me feel like I probably shouldn't, like there's probably something wrong with wanting it or something. And I don't know what the difference is between like that and being like, I want Taco Bell tonight, you know? It's not really that hard to just be like, to rationalize yourself into Taco Bell or something. Even it's like, which is something like I can almost like more actively know for sure, that's just probably not a good thing to put in my body.
Yes. You know? Yes. Yeah.
Whereas like, you know, there could be tons of applications where you it's just like, yeah, it's fun having a hot tub. You want it. There's nothing stopping you from getting it or whatever.
Do you ever have like the worry? So like for example, like whenever, you know, like coveting a boat for a long, long, long time would be like the other one potentially on this list, which I now have. So there's that. But like the thing that people would always say to me about the boat was, boat stands for break out another 1,000, which basically just means like you're always going to be spending this money repairing it. And then the other phrase that people love to say is that like the two best days of your life are the day that you buy your boat and the day that you sell your boat. It's like, do you have any what I feel like people are essentially saying to me, and like, you know, my interpretation of it is like, you think you want this thing, but once you have it, you're not going to enjoy it the way that you think you're going to.
Right.
Like it's not going to give you the kind of like joy or completeness or happiness or fulfillment or whatever that you think it might. Like, do you have any worry about that attached to something like this where you're like, man, I really like to do this thing and I think it'd be a lot of fun, but like, what if we got it and like never use it?
No, I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned it makes me a bad person for wanting it.
Oh no, it definitely doesn't.
Yeah.
If there's anything like, you sound like me right now.
No, I know. Yeah. I'm aware. I'm like, such
that
a
must be so
sentence.
Frustrating. Yeah.
But like, this will happen to me like on the weekends, like the, where, you know, if it's like Sunday, you know, afternoon, and we don't really have anything like any plans or anything, and you know, the kids are playing, like sometimes I feel like I don't know like where to be in the house, or like I don't have a focus for my attention. And
okay.
It's like, all I really want to do is just sort of like, you know, sit and like watch TV or just like play a game on my phone or like go play video games or something. Just like, just do kind of nothing.
Yeah.
But it's like because I know that would make me happy, like, I'm like, I can't possibly do that. Like,
sure.
You know what I mean? And so it's like, and then I just get like sort of like angry and frustrated at like sort of nothing, or I'll just sort of like work on things that I don't want to be doing. And it's like, I don't know what it is either. Like what will like stop me from doing things that like I want to do, other than this feeling that like, because I want to do it, I shouldn't be allowed to do it or something.
I do genuinely understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
But I don't know like if I have a particularly good explanation either. I think I've experienced and do experience like the same thing on a fairly regular basis. Like,
yeah,
sometimes I worry this is like the like life equivalent of like taking your eye off the ball. Like I'm almost afraid, like, well, if you go and do the fun thing, then you might get so absorbed by that fun thing that you start to ignore important like
exactly
factors like, of your life.
It's like the knowledge that like I'm not being productive, or that like, oh, I'm home with the kids but like not spending time with them, or
yeah.
You know, it's like, but like, like any amount of taking care of yourself in that way is like, I don't know, like it like internalizes as like immoral to me, even though that is so stupid.
No, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. Like this is one of those things where probably the honest and genuine answer is that like your ability to accommodate things that you desire for yourself, and I should probably be speaking to myself here, is going to make you overall happier, which is going to overall make you like a better contributor to, like, you know, your friends, family, coworkers, you know,
yeah,
yourself, like,
yeah,
you know, it's like being able to do the things that bring you happiness and joy. Like, that's how you like refill your cup, and then you can go from there and use that to like be a better person to all the other people around you.
Right. So go get some subwoofers, Ben.
Okay. All right. I'm going to have to report back now and like let everybody know what ends up happening,
yeah.
You know, in this particular column, because the probably the other huge fascination for me is mostly it's like this is an interesting experiment that I have, like I it's like it would be fun to run, like I want to see what happens.
Oh, like will I like get will it scratch the itch?
Or, will it scratch the itch, or is there a scenario where you like you come out the other side and you're like, dude, guess what, I am so pumped right now, I don't care about subwoofers anymore. Like,
right.
For the first time in 17 years, I don't care at all. Like, oh, yeah. I'm free.
But like, it almost seems like there's like almost no downside then, because either you'll have the relief of being over it, or you won't be over it, and that's because you enjoy it, and great news, you get to just keep enjoying it.
I know. And maybe a part of the underlying aspect is that like maybe this is even like the rationale that my brain is like requiring me to have, is like, before you go and do this thing, because it's like I said before, it's like, it's not like I'm unaware of the fact that this is something you could potentially be like judged for or negatively impacting people mm-hmm. on. It's almost like my brain is like, okay, you need to make sure everyone knows beforehand that you are aware of the associated optics of this situation before you go and do it.
Mm-hmm.
That way it's sort of like, it's people are like, man, that Ben guy, he just pulled in and he's like really blasting some music. But like everybody else in the parking lot who's like watching me pull up would be like talking to each other. I'm like, yeah, but he actually knows. He knows exactly how it looks. He's running an entire psychological experiment right now to figure out how he feels about it. Yeah, so
everyone listens to this podcast.
Yes,
totally in on it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. It's like, no. It's like you think he's just being like that guy, but he's actually not being that guy. He's thinking a lot of stuff through. This is science. this is my hope.
Right. Yeah.
And he says desperately. Anyway, but yeah, so there you go. Hot tubs and subwoofers and dumpster holes.
Dumpster holes, exactly.
People are like, wow, this podcast is really taking a turn.
I know. This is definitely the best podcast in Roanoke, which the voting for, I think, is open right now. I'm not sure how long it's open.
I know, yeah. I guess.
As we're recording it, I'm pretty sure it's open.
Yeah.
On the Roanoker.
As ever, if you guys have listened in the past, the Roanoker magazine goes through and delivers a best of column for a variety of different categories. One of those happens to be podcast and local social media presence. We can put a link to it in the description down below if you'd like to go and drop us a vote. We would very much appreciate it.
Well, so here's the thing, though. Now we have two podcasts, Ben. So it would be tremendous if we were the top two podcasts in Roanoke. if Popcorn Culture and Through the Gryffindor were the top two podcasts.
That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be pretty cool. That'd be
pretty cool. Yeah. So links to any of that in the description down below. Thank you in advance for any support you're willing to send our way. But otherwise, I think we've reached a fantastic stopping point for this week's episode, where Jay and I are off to go buy subwoofers and hot tubs.
Exactly.
As ever, if you have any feedback about the show that you'd like to send in, I always appreciate it. And I do read every single email. You can send those to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Otherwise, if you'd like to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. Until next time.
Pop, pop.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.